do welcome again each of you here this morning. Welcome each father that is here in our midst. Think about that periodically. Actually, I looked at Jeff and thought about, not the first time I saw him, but the first time I remember looking back. My memory's not so good, such a little toddler with these chubby little cheeks. And thinking about now, grown to manhood and taken on upon him many responsibilities, and not the least of these is being a father, and the responsibility that it holds, an awesome responsibility. And I look out that we have young men and young women out there, and one day, just like our brother, they're going to grow, and they're going to get married, and they're going to fulfill those same responsibilities. And I know that it begins and ends with having Jesus Christ in your life and in your family as a father and as a mother. I know that my brother knows that, believes that, and is taught that. I have no idea what he's going to preach on this morning, but I know that whatever it is, because I know my brother and the diligence in which he works and sincerity in which he prays, it's of the Lord, and it's for me, and it's for you this Sunday morning. Our brother Jeff.
Appreciate that. A lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas come to my mind, and as I heard my Uncle Steve's comments, I appreciate them. I appreciate probably more so the example, whether it's the example of my Uncle Steve and all of my uncles and all of those loved ones that I grew up with. While I had an awesome dad, and I had a dad who always set the example for us, I'm also thankful for the fathers, the men in my life that I grew up with, that I saw, and I remember seeing their example that they set for me. And so I'm thankful for that. My sermon today, actually, my Uncle Steve said he didn't know what I was going to preach on, and actually he must have known what I was going to preach on. He asked me earlier this morning, what was my sermon on, and he said, sin, right? Don't do it. You've heard that joke? Well, it's not a joke. I am going to preach on sin today. If I had a title for my sermon, I'm going to say the title for my sermon this morning is The Unblessed Tie That Binds. And so I just kind of want you to think about that. The Unblessed Tie That Binds. And we sing a song that sings, blessed be the tie that binds. And I'm kind of taking a little different spin on that. This is not a traditional Father's Day message. However, frankly, my intention is not targeted specifically at fathers, but it is targeted at each of us. Those that face sin, that are challenged with sin, those of us that live with sin in our lives. I've thought a lot lately about this, and honestly, there's been several weeks that I have had these scriptures on my mind and been thinking about this, and have started off with 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. So I'd ask if you have your scriptures, turn with me to 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. I'm going to start at the 94th verse. And then, as I'm preparing, I'm going to need a young man to help volunteer to help me out. And I was looking down up front here, and I saw James sitting right here in front of me. And so after I read this scripture, I'm going to have James come up and help me out. James, would you help me out? All right, so just wait. Let me read this first scripture first, and then I'm going to have you come help me. James looks like a big, strong guy, and so I think I can use James this morning. So I'm going to start at the 94th verse. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. All right, and those adults, if you've read this before, you understand where I'm going. What's really interesting about looking out here this morning is the average age that is here today is relatively young. And so I'm thankful with that. I'm thankful for that because I think that this very much applies whether it's us older people or whether it's some of the younger people that are here today. I'm going to read that verse again. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. Now, who is referring to here? This is in 2 Nephi. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck. Who's leading them by the neck? Satan. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so as you think about, here it says, and he leadeth them by the neck with flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. All right, this is a old trick, but for old people, you won't tell. I'm going to have James come up, because James is looking pretty strong. Did you have a good breakfast this morning? What did you have for breakfast? Chocolate donuts. That probably made you strong, didn't it? Apparently you're staying with Grandma and Grandpa, aren't you? All right, so I have this string right here, right? It's a pretty tough string. And what I want you to do is you're going to put it inside of your hands just like that, and you're going to spread your hands apart and see if you can break that, okay? Put both in. Make it tight. Oh, hey, look at that. So what happened there? It broke apart because you're pretty strong, aren't you? All right, so I'm going to try something else. You willing to try one more? All right. So I have this string, same string, right? Is that the same string? Take a look at it. Look about the same. You want to feel it? About the same? All right. Now, you're pretty strong, right? And those chocolate donuts made you really strong today, right? So hold your hands out again. All right. And I'm just going to start wrapping. Think you can break it still?
Yes.
You think so?
Possibly.
How about now?
Yeah,
still think you're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I arrested or something?
No, no. All right, go ahead and see if you can break it. Come on. All right. Could you break it?
Almost.
How about almost not? All right, go ahead and sit down. Thank you. All right, so we've seen this before, right? We've seen this example. I could do this to any number of us. You know, Jeff Williams, he showed up here today, right? I could put this around Jeff. Jeff's a pretty strong guy. Guys, do you think your dad could break that? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And why is that? Why was it tougher for James that to try to break that when there was more on there than when there was just one? Does anybody know why? So I want you to think about that a little bit as I start to go through some scriptures that I have for us to read today. You know, and I like that example of the thread and that flax and cords. You know, as you think about flax, what is flax? Scripturally in the Bible, what is it referring to? Wool, right? It's talking about wool and the use of wool. And what was wool used for back many years ago? Yeah, clothes, right? Whether you're talking cotton, whether you're talking wool, wool was made and woven into clothes. And then the cords that it talks about there, and it says those cords, you know, it's those flaxen cords, that like that string or that rope, you know, that tie that binds. Right, the flaxen cords, as I went around James' hand with just one string, he was able to break it loose. But as we started to wrap it and do more and more and more, what happens? It gets stronger, right? That string becomes stronger. And rather than just one strand, he probably had 50 strands around his hand there, and it was tougher to break. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. And what we see and what we find, and before I start to read this, you know, as you think about sin and you think about sin in your life, and really, as adults, there should be nothing new here for us today. There should be no new message for us to understand and to think about. But I want us to think about that sin in our lives like that string. I want us to think about that sin that as it is built up in our lives, what is it doing to us? What is it doing to bind us down, to hold us back? Romans, the 8th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, as you think about that word quicken, you could use another word. You could say strengthen your mortal bodies. And it continues on. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This becomes really the foundation of what we want to draw upon. And really these verses, I'm going to skip backwards in Roman, but these verses become that foundation of what I want to talk about today. And what I want us to get thinking about. You know, whether it's in the 11th verse where it talks about quicken your mortal bodies, that strengthening of our mortal bodies. What is it that we have to do to strengthen our mortal bodies? Not so that we have the strength to break through all the flaxen cords, but so that we have the strength that they don't even become to start to set around us. In the 12th verse, he talks about, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. You know, what our moral obligation that it's referring to there, our moral obligation to live after to not live after the flesh, but to live after Christ Jesus. For if ye have lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And so ultimately, that separation from sin and sin from death. All right, I'm going to get now into the scriptures that I want to really spend some time. And I'm going to go to Romans, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to really spend the majority of my time here. And I would ask for your patience, but I would also ask for your time. And I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit as I go through this, or at least try to touch on some things in each one of these verses. And I think these verses really stand out. I want to tell you how I kind of came across thinking about these verses. I was a couple weeks ago, I don't know, it's been several weeks ago, I was down in Texas. I had to be in Texas over the weekend. And so on Sunday morning, I got up and I was listening to one of our telechurches or teleconferences, one of the videos that I could watch of one of the sermons. And as I watched that, I went through that and heard the scripture or heard the sermon that day. And then I left my hotel and I went out I was going to go for a drive. And down in Texas, we're looking at a business just outside of Dallas. And so I thought, you know, this would be a good opportunity for me to drive over and take a look at their facilities and kind of see some of the things that they have going on there. So as I drove, it was a fairly decent drive, and I had the radio on, and I was listening to a sermon. And I was listening to, and I don't know who it was, and I couldn't tell you who it was, but he was referencing Romans, the 6th chapter, quite a bit. And it kind of intrigued me, or it kind of sparked a little thought. And so when I got back to my hotel that night, I pulled up Romans, the 6th chapter, and I started reading this. And you know, just at first glance, you read Romans 6th chapter, and it's not easily understood, I don't think. Or at least I think it's not that it's not easily understood, but I think we have to think about it. And I hope that today, you know, at least we can walk away from here, and I want you to think of two things when you walk through here from here today. One is I want you to keep that reminder of that flaxen cords, because I do think it's a good reminder for us to understand that sin that's in our lives, that sin that unfortunately binds us down, each of us. And even in my own life, those sins that we face and those challenges and those trials and those temptations that we have that bind us down are like those flaxen cords. But also then, too, I'd ask you to think about chapter 6 in Romans. And I would encourage you to highlight it or write something down and come back and study this. Starts off in the first verse. What shall we say then? And this is Paul speaking. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want you to think about that a little bit and think about that verse and think about what he's saying. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If sin generates grace, all right, this is what I want you to think about. Should we encourage sin in order to cause more grace to be granted? So think about that. And if you think about that verse, you know, Paul is saying, should we have sin so that we have more grace? And it's a horrible to think about. And Paul continues on in the second verse, and it says, God forbid, you know, perish the thought. Forget about that. God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? So Paul continues to say here, he says, you know, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? And he's saying, we are to be dead to sin. This expression of an unthinkable horror that Paul talks about here. He uses it whenever he thinks and suggests it. It's a repugnant thought that he has. It continues on in the third verse. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And this was the thought I had when I heard the guy that was preaching on this radio. You know, he talked about when he baptized someone. And he said he took him down in the water. And he said sometimes, you know, he held him down in the water just a little bit longer to make sure that those sins were truly washed away. And it was kind of that mental picture, you know, but it kind of brought that mental picture to my mind. That, you know, truly, you know, that remembrance of that baptism. And each of us think about our baptism. Think about when we were taken down into the water. You know, what as you think back on your baptism, what is your thought of your baptism? Was it truly that your sins were washed away? You know, there's so many things that we can think about, and there's so many areas in our mind. But, you know, this guy talked about, he said, you know, this guy, and I want to say this guy was like he talked about being a youth minister in this church. And he talked about as he worked with some of these youth and as he had the opportunity to baptize some of them, you know, it drew my attention to and my thought to when Trenton was just baptized or when Braden was baptized, you know. I mean, as a parent, you know, we all look and say, well, I'm sure our kids are good, right? Well, I'm thinking, you know, you think about that thought. You think about, you know, when I took them down into the water, probably should have held them there a little bit longer. Right? But in all sincerity, you know, you think about that. Do we think about that washing away of our sins? You know, we're so excited. And as a father, I was proud. But as a parent, you know, I was excited to see. And as a loved one, you know, we're excited to see our loved ones that are baptized. But you know, you think about that, and that responsibility that continues on is that while our sins are washed away, our sins, do we then not face sin any longer? Do we not have sin in our life? You know, what Paul talks about, you know, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. And there's so many areas, you know, that baptism joins the believer into Christ. And I want you to think about, you know, not only are we baptized into Jesus Christ, but whose church are we in? Christ's church. And that we become a member of Christ's church and that we are baptized into his church. You know, that baptism joins us into that. And this reference, go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It's a verse we all know, the 12th through the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, and I think about that then, that baptism and that reminder for each of us. You know, all too often, and a lot of times what we find in our lives is that we have a point in our life where we are baptized and we have that renewing of that Spirit, or we have that engagement, that involvement, that drawing in, that tie that binds. But then what starts to happen? We face trials. We face temptations. We face those challenges. You know, and there's a lot of different directions I can go with this, but, you know, I think about that, is that whose responsibility is it then? You know, as I think about my own kids or as I think about those that are around us. You know, as a kid growing up, I was thankful that I had my grandmother that would chastise me or that would challenge me. That when I was baptized and became a member of Christ, and much like I read there in 1 Corinthians, you know, a part of that body. You know, that reminder for me of someone that was challenging me or chastising me or trying to set me straight. You know, that responsibility falls on each of us as members. Is that challenge and that chastisement and that encouragement. But I also ask and I encourage each of us to remember that baptism that we had. Remembering that strength and that renewing. Remembering that tie that bound us to Christ, that bound us to God. Continuing on, I'm going to continue on in Romans, the 6th chapter at the 4th verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that the like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So what is that saying? Walk in newness of life. We should live our everyday lives free from sin's control, free from those flaxen cords. You know, this to me just continues to create a good visual, right? You know, what's so simple is I can come in and I can break this one string right here. But like James, I can't break this. And what happens as sin creeps into our lives? What happens as we face those challenges within our lives? You know, this preacher, as he was talking, he talked about as a young man, he was found himself that was getting wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and all these things in his life. And all these challenges and trials and temptations. And he talked about how those flaxen cords, those ties that bind him down and that bound him down and kept him from, not only kept him from, but truly kept him from that following after Christ, following after his Heavenly Father, that which he grew up knowing and understanding and believing. You know, and I think that sin in our lives, you know, we think all too often of those sins as those big major items, those big major things. But in my own life, I find, you know, the sins and the challenges and the trials are not always the big things. They're the little things that distract us, that pull us away. Continuing on in the 5th verse, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, I'm kind of, my attention is drawn to a couple areas in that. Our old man, right? We understand that, our old self, the person that we were. But then continues on, it says, might be destroyed. Might be destroyed. So what does that mean? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, that we destroy that sin, that we have to conquer that sin, that we have to strengthen ourselves, and that we have to draw ourselves unto him to be strengthened. You know, my Uncle Steve made the comment. He said, you know, Wednesday night, what is the purpose of Wednesday night? It's not just a waste of time. It's not just a distractor in our life or something to keep us from distractions, but it's to draw us in. It's that strengthening. It's that breaking of those flaxen cords. Continuing on the 7th verse, for he that is dead, freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The believer has been delivered from that guilt and that penalty. Continuing on the 8th verse, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon. So I highlighted that word, reckon. Likewise reckon. Take into account ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I want to pause there, and I want you to think about those verses a little bit. And I'm going to go back, and I'm going to read that 10th and 11th verse. For in that he died. He died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think about those verses. You know, I read something one of our brothers recently wrote and sent out to the ministry, and it talked about repentance. It talked about that calling and that responsibility for each of us to fall unto repentance. And I think about this in our own lives. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves. You know, I define that word reckon as in take into account. Think about, step back and think about those things in our lives, that sin in our lives. Are we alive unto God through Christ? You know, the owner of the business that I work in, his son just came to work for us. And it's been really kind of an interesting experience having the son come into the business, but it's been a good experience. And he's kind of an interesting character, a lot of different experiences through his life, a lot of interesting work experiences. But it was interesting, and I was talking to him about his beliefs. We were driving one day, and he was telling me about the church that he goes to. And he talks about this church that he goes to. They have it's a huge church in Dallas, and I've actually seen it from the highway. Very big church, and it's packed. You know, I mean, it's to the point where they have probably 5 different services throughout the day on Sunday, only just to fit everybody in. But the one thing that intrigued me about it, and then he talked about that has really caused me to think a lot is they talk about accountability. You know, at work, we talk a lot about responsibility and accountability. And the businesses that we bought here in Missouri, there wasn't a lot of accountability, and there definitely wasn't a lot of responsibility. There were a lot of people that were just acting on their own, doing their own things. And as you think about in our lives, you know, when we're not accountable, when we're not responsible for something, that we tend to, you know, sometimes chaos sets in. But he talks about this accountability. And he talks about the accountability to the point where as a member of this church, you know, you're brought in and you're actually challenged to be put into a team. And that there's mutual accountability and there's responsibility within that. And as I think about that accountability and that responsibility, what are we accountable to? As members of the Church of Christ, what are we accountable to? Who are we accountable to? It's not a trick question. Who are we accountable to? Christ, absolutely. But who else are we accountable to? As parents, who are we accountable to? Our children, right? As a cousin, as a loved one, as a friend, as a member, as a fellow member in Christ, who are we accountable to? To each other. Right? And I think that as I think about this and as I draw on this, you know, this says not only to me what this verse is saying is not only take into account Jeff Oldham, you know, not only to me, take into account of yourselves, your deeds unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord, but also unto each other. You know, I think that is our responsibility and that is our challenge to each other is who are we accountable to? We are accountable to each other. We are accountable to the communication, the engagement, the involvement, the connection to our loved ones. You know, it shouldn't shock me, you know, when I sent Kevin a text and Kevin came back and said, yeah, you know, he'll help me serve the sacrament. And Kevin said, you know, he had some scriptures on his mind at that time. You know, that connection that Kevin had, that understanding. I had a testimony when Kevin and I were serving the sacrament up here a few weeks ago. And Kevin was speaking his comments and making those comments that he had that I thought he was truly inspired by Christ. And as Kevin was wrapping up his comments, you know, I had a thought that we needed to set and think upon the Lord. And what did Kevin ask? He said, we're going to pause and we're going to think and we're going to sit here and contemplate and pray. You know, that doesn't happen by happenstance. That just doesn't happen other than by that leading, that prompting of Christ. And so my challenge to each of us here is as we think about, you know, we are accountable and we are responsible to not only ourselves, but those around us. Reach out, send a text, reach out, call somebody, reach out and connect to somebody. Reach out and think about those that are loved ones. You know, one of our brothers that I grew up with, man, he's been on my mind a lot. And, you know, it had been one of these crazy things where over several years I've been trying to connect with them. And I've been trying to contact them, and I've been trying to be connected with them. And, you know, I kept sending them a text, and I never got a response. And I kept sending them a text, and I never got a response. And one day I was talking to his mom, and apparently I had the wrong phone number. And I sent him a text, and he responded back. And I sent him another text, and we just started going back and forth. You know, we don't know where that connection is going to come. And I don't know where that connection is going to go. But my prayer is, and my hope is that we start to drive some accountability in and amongst us. Who are we talking to? Who are we connecting with? Are we accountable ourselves for those things in our lives? I know those are those things that I struggle with and challenge with myself. But I feel that prompting, and I feel that desire, and I feel that need, that connection that we need to have with those around us. Continue on in the 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You know, let not says stop letting. You know, stop letting sin control our life. Because what I truly believe, if sin is controlling our lives, how much can we do to connect to others? How much can we do to account, be accountable to others and be responsible for others and that connection with others? Continuing on, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but grace? God forbid. You know, that verse is similar to the first verse in this chapter, you know, but it says, it's just put a little bit different. Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. You know, this example was so alive to me yesterday. Yesterday morning, Michelle and I got up, and we decided that we were going to clean up some of our landscaping around our house. And we've got way too many trees and way too much stuff. And so, and I mean stuff by plants. Way too many plants. And it's driving me crazy. And we have this big tree right in our backyard, and it's got these huge vines growing up it. And if it were up to me, I would rip every one of those vines out, and because it's not just the vines that are growing up the tree, but then those vines are growing all throughout the ground. And so Braden and I were out there yesterday a little bit. Michelle was out there yesterday, and I just started ripping up vines and cutting vines. And my hope is I hit a main artery. But I doubt I did. But I think about that, you know, and I think about that sin in our lives. And I want you to think about where I'm trying to go with this. As you think about those vines, and if you want a living, breathing example, come on over and I'll show you the vines. But it's not just what the vine does, right? The vine and the idea of the vine, it's pretty, sort of. You know, I remember my mom and dad had a vine growing up the side of their house. And I remember ripping that off. And taking that down, and how that connected itself to the wall. And not just how it connected itself to the wall, but then what does a vine do? It starts to weave all around, doesn't it? It starts to grow in and under and around and really taking over everything that is around it. And as you think about sin in our lives, sin is so much like that. Whether I do the example of the string and the flaxen cords, or whether you draw the visual in your mind of those vines, you know, it's not just the connection. I was looking at the tree, this huge tree, and it almost looks like the vine is just now growing out of the tree. It's an old vine, and it's connecting itself, and it's becoming a part of that tree. And there was one part where I ripped off, and the bark came off with it. You know, so here is this bare, open tree behind it. That sin in our lives, it becomes so connected with us. It becomes so much a part of our lives. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm telling you, or I'm encouraging you, or I'm asking you to think about that sin in our lives. You know, as that sin creeps in, as it connects to us, it not only draws us away, it not only inflicts us and carries us down, but it then also takes us away from those responsibilities and that accountability to others, that connection and that bond. You know, and what was interesting when this young man that I work with was telling me about his church, you know, every Tuesday night he goes to church in a study, and it's just a study with his group of six or seven people that are in that group. That accountability. They have that connection. They have that opportunity. I see that same in our own lives. As we have a Wednesday night service, we have that accountability. We have that connection. We have that need to strengthen ourselves. Continuing on in the 16th verse, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." You know, true freedom, this true connection to God, is this freedom from sin. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, and that gift of God is vital for us, and it's important, and it's one that I can't reinforce enough. It's one that as you think about these verses, and again, I would ask you to go back and read these. I want you to think about these verses, because there's so many different directions, there's so many different things that could be said off of these verses. But I want you to think about sin in our lives. I want you to think about those distractors. You know, my Uncle Steve made the comment when he was teaching the Sunday school class, you know, the other gods that are here in our lives today. You know, what are those other gods that are in our lives? Those distractors, those things that draw us away and take us away. You know, I can't tell you what they are in your life. I can tell you the effects and the impact that that has. And so as you think about these verses, I want to close with a scripture here in 2 Nephi, the third chapter. David actually read from this chapter this morning, and it was a portion of this chapter that made me think of this very thing. I'm in 2 Nephi, the third chapter. And I'm going to start at the 43rd verse. "And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation." You know, as I think about those verses, I think about, you know, I love these verses, and I go to this a lot, and I use this chapter a lot, in whether it's my own thoughts as I'm driving along, and as I think about these verses, do not anger because of mine enemy. How do I do that? How do I not anger because of my enemies? You know, how do I not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions? Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord. Say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. You know, the only way I know how to do that, the only way that I know how to strengthen, is a few things. One, prayer. We have to have prayer. As my brother challenged us in a letter that he sent, you know, he's calling us unto repentance, to pray for forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness for those sins that we have committed. We have an opportunity. We have an avenue. We have a path. Simple prayer. But I'm going to take it one step further, and this is what my challenge is for each of us, that we remember it is our responsibility to encourage and to challenge, to reach out, to touch, and to talk to someone. Encourage somebody around you. Send a text. Make a phone call. Send a Facebook connection, whatever it may be. But that connection and where that can go and how that can help us and how that can aid us and what that can do for us, it's that accountability and that responsibility. If we're not accountable to anybody, what happens? You know, I'm looking at my 18-year-old son, and I see a kid some days that there's not a lot of accountability and there isn't a lot of responsibility. It concerns me. But I also know that his mother and I are going to give him a swift kick in the pants when he needs it. And I'm thankful that we have that, we have those people and we have those examples around us that are able to give us that swift kick sometimes when we need it, to bring in that accountability, to bring in that responsibility, to bring in that encouragement. We don't know where it'll go. We don't know what that connection will mean. We don't know what that will do for someone around us. Send a text. Make a phone call. Make a connection. That tie that binds can be so powerful. And it just starts with reaching out and touching and talking and encouraging others around us.